nice segue, in fact, there on the risk question to Trevor Maynard, who is Deputy Head of Exposure Management at Lloyd's of London and who is a mathematician, appropriately enough.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to speak to you today. This is just my don't get fired slide. Hopefully what I'm saying is very much reflecting the research we've done at Lloyd's, but it's very difficult to represent the whole Lloyd's market, as you'll shortly see, so I always put this slide in. I want to talk briefly about the Lloyd's market and how it's structured, just to give you some background, and a little bit on our emerging risk team at Lloyd's, and then to discuss the nanotech industry with a view to how the insurance industry feels about it, focusing particularly on liability aspects and then on how we might manage the risks as we see them. So Lloyd's is a marketplace. It's not a single company. It's a market of about 70 competing insurers, all of whom write typically what we call co-insurance. So the brokers will bring proposals into the market, and they will walk around and they will speak to various underwriters, and the underwriters will take on a proportion of the risk until 100% is covered, and that's called co-insurance. So the brokers have the direct relationship with the customer, and then the underwriters are dealing with the brokers. The capital for Lloyd's comes from names, and typically now they are corporate bodies, although there's still 10% of the old-fashioned Lloyd's names, wealthy individuals, etc. And it's quite interesting and relevant, I think, to track that flow of capital back. Ultimately, much of the capital in the industry comes from institutional investors and, in particular, pension funds. So when the premiums are insufficient to pay for claims, which they are on occasion, then the capital, which is sitting there backing up these premiums, has to pay the claim, and then you're looking at pension funds effectively paying out. So clearly we want to protect their capital as much as we can. So Lloyd's had many, many years of profitability until the late 80s, where a string of losses actually threatened the future of the Lloyd's market, which was over 300 years old at the time. And some of them were traditional catastrophes like Piper Alpha and Hurricane Andrew, single events that led to a very large loss, and obviously we were covering a certain amount of that loss with the premium we charged, but not enough, and so the capital had to pay for some of it. But other examples like asbestosis and pollution were not single events. They're sort of very many small claims all aggregating together to cause a large loss for the market. And particularly with asbestos, because the exposure had been building up over many tens of years, the reserves that were being held were not large enough on their own to pay for those claims. Asbestos has cost our industry around about $100 billion US dollars, and around a third of that is in legal fees. So as you can imagine, new technologies, asbestos at the time was thought of as a wonder technology and was used everywhere, and we are keenly aware of new technologies now and trying to track them and try and avoid that sort of issue again. Now, that doesn't mean that we think the nanotechnology industries are going to cause that sort of problem, and indeed all parties have learned from the mistakes of the past, we hope. Our policy definitions are different. The way policies were written in the past, you could aggregate risk over many, many decades, whereas now we tend to write them in a way that you can't aggregate as much risk. And we know that safety is more paramount to industry than it was in the past. So emerging risks is a strong focus for Lloyd's, and in fact, the Financial Services Authority, which regulates all financial services, have mentioned emerging risks in their financial risk outlook documents, which they publish every year, and the rating agencies, which give us our financial strength rating, are also keenly interested in our emerging risks management. So we've set up what we call a special interest group at Lloyd's, which are experts from the Lloyd's market, which meet quarterly, and we discuss all manner of things, ranging from emerging information on earthquakes, but also new technologies, nanotechnology, synthetic biology, etc. So, firstly, to note that nanotechnology has been very much an interest area for the insurance industry for a number of years, going back to 2001, and our report came out in 2007. So it's not just Lloyd's that are interested in this, there's a number of us. Our report covers a number of things. One of the things that I particularly wanted to note was how regulation and well-defined products actually reduce the risk and they reduce ambiguity for our industry. I've been speaking to a number of underwriters for several years, and one of the areas they're concerned around is the sort of lack of definition and how hard it is to actually track what nanotechnology is being used in. We're asking people to consider a number of possible scenarios. Now, I should stress that as part of the UK regulatory regime, we don't have to just look at what's expected to occur, we have to look at what's not expected to occur. And in fact, we have to consider what might happen with a 1 in 200 probability annually. So very extreme events are within our annual risk framework. And so we're sort of looking at things like pollution spills of nanoparticles and how difficult it would be to clear those up, what workers might develop chronic illnesses from using it, and so on and so forth. I won't read them all out. But these are the kinds of things that we're suggesting that our market consider as scenarios. There will be benefits, of course, and keen always in these sorts of meetings not to come across as any form of Luddite. New technology is very exciting. We know that we might get stronger materials that would therefore withstand events, normal catastrophes, etc., to a greater extent. But interesting point here is that often the benefits of new technology eventually and quite quickly actually get passed to the policyholder through lower premiums. So if the risk history shows that there are lower claims because of stronger materials, that will quickly be translated into a lower premium, and the policyholder will benefit. It's not the insurer that benefits. Whereas, of course, conversely, there's a sort of lack of symmetry here. If there's a very bad outcome from nanotechnology, a health impact or something, then it will be the capital of our insurance industry that pays the claim. We've asked our underwriters, and clearly, as you can imagine, that they're particularly interested in health impacts, but I won't read those out. You know those far more than I do. So anything to do with pollution or health impacts and liability. I think it's worth mentioning that not all risks are insurable, and in fact there is a definition of what insurable means, and some of the things it includes are that the risk has to be diversifiable, so it won't all happen at once, and quantifiable, so you can assess exposure and likelihood and the volatility of the claim. And I think with new technologies that's particularly difficult, in that you can get large accumulations potentially if a use of a nanotechnology is widespread, and also you don't really know what the health impacts will be for a number of years. So it is challenging for insurers. Another critical thing that we're concerned about is, and our research, our 360 Risk Insight research has shown, is that the compensation culture is spreading quite rapidly from the US to the rest of the world. Boards are still very reactive and not very proactive. And people, class action lawyers are now quite clever. They will even do things what they call jurisdiction picking, where they will pick the jurisdiction to take the case to that's most likely to win the case. So we unfortunately end up at the bad end of this in paying claims. And I was interested in the comments you made earlier about the fact that the regulation reflects society's view of risk at the time. And of course, again, we unfortunately can get caught out when 20 years later society's view of the risk changes and people decide to backdate the impact on the industry. Thank you. So how would we manage these risks? Well, there are a number of ways. We can monitor and research them, and that's a lot of what's happening at the moment. We can collect exposure and risk information from insureds, but this is quite hard, and I've spoken to a number of underwriters that have said actually It's very, very difficult to ask for this information, particularly that it's not very clear whether these things are being used in products. It doesn't flow through naturally into the insurance process. So that might be something that we can discuss later as how to improve that. We can price adequately, which is the first step. Purchase reinsurance, which is when the insurer buys their own insurance. Exclude nanotechnology and just say this liability policy does not cover nanotechnology at all, and we know some insurers have done that already. Others do what they call exclude and write back, which is where they'll exclude it from the main liability policy and then write it back on limited terms so they can box in the risk to sort of manageable proportions. They can change the terms and conditions so that claims only within a fixed period come in, and that's what a lot of the post-asbestos policies look like. But also they can assist insureds with risk management, and there's often a dialogue between the broker and the underwriter. The more risk management there is, in general, the lower the premium. So to conclude, we know that nanotechnologies are exciting, but also that there are the potential for unforeseen impacts. Insurers, we are very keen that people think through all impacts of liability, including directors and officers cover, which is where the directors would pay if the share price of the company is affected, because we pay those claims. And fundamentally, we are excited by nanotechnology, but also quite nervous about it. And the more we can have conversations to sort of understand how the health impacts are being assessed, then I think the better. Thank you.